everybody. This is Harriet Kamek, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, I want to talk with you about, is this not the fast I have chosen? Is this not the fast I have chosen? And I'm using as my base the scriptural reference is Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. And we're going to show you from that scripture what God meant when he said, is this not the fast that I have chosen? We fast forward a little bit to the New Testament where Jesus himself said, there are some things that can only come out by fasting and prayer. Jesus instructed his apostles, his followers, his disciples, you and I in present day, to ensure that if there are some things that we come to in our lives that we can't move, that we are praying and it's not moving, then we need a combination of fasting and prayer. And we're going to show you how relevant fasting is. I recognize that we live in a day and time when the word of God is scarce, when God and the machinations of God, the process of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the belief in God, the fact that we have joy and peace and grace, I recognize that those things are not part of our everyday parlance. I recognize today that leaders of the church, shepherds, are called into question in terms of their ethical and moral behavior, in terms of what they represent, who they're supposed to be to the people of God. I'm going to stand right here and apologize to you if any one of them have fallen. They fell because they let themselves fall. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no doubt about that, each and every one of us. We all, as human beings, have a calling. We all have a failing that we have failed. But if we're going to stand before the people and declare that we are ministers of God and that we are bishops and we hold these titles and we can't control our very nature, and we can't, there is no distinction between how you live and how the people over here live in the world, then what is the point in telling people to come to God? If they can't see a difference, they're not going to do it, right? So I want to show you that in this season, for each and every one of us, how we're going to cast these kinds of things down. They're spirits of infirmity. Sickness is a spirit of infirmity. Jesus said so. Yeah, remember he healed the woman with the issue of blood for 18 years. He called on the guy who came down through the roof. Imagine you're in a service and a man comes down through the roof. He healed people who had leprosy. He healed people who had what? Physical disabilities. We, the church, we are supposed to be different. When the people get sick and they have nowhere else to go and the doctors tell them there's nothing else they can do, they're supposed to come to us and find relief and comfort. Even if they don't get physically healed according to the will of God for their lives, they at least should come to us and find grace. They at least should come to us and find peace. And how they're going to know the distinction is that I'm not in the club dancing with a rapper. I'm not at his party saying that I'm giving a convocation. That is wrong. I'm not on video dancing and carrying on. Yes, I go out and have fun with my family. Yes, I go out and when I'm amongst my family, we have fun. But you know what? They're not seeing me with a glass with liquor in it. They're not seeing me at the club. They don't call me for those things because what? They know. They know that there is a distinction between what they do and what I do. So they don't profane it. That is how we're supposed to be. So I'm saying to you, all of 2021, 2022, 2023, this broadcast talked about the shepherd and the conduct of the shepherd that was leading the sheep astray. And I talked endlessly about it. And why? Because this moment is coming. So this year, this is the beginning of this year. This year, we're going to talk about the fast. We're going to talk about, is this not the fast that I have chosen? So I want you to start thinking about your resolutions, your goals, we all make them at the beginning of the year, and what you want to do. Whatever is at the top of the list, whatever is on your heart, on your mind, whatever is it that you have made a commitment to, that you want to achieve, I am going to tell you right now, why do you do this? This is a fast. We're going to fast to excoriate members of the public who are among the body of Christ who should not be in the positions they're in. We're going to fast that they be pulled out, because the younger people who are coming up, they need to know God. They need to know that I can't go to the club and then run right into the church and jump up and down. They need to know that the pastor, who is the representative of God, can't be standing on the stage and singing some rap song in the sanctuary. Grace is allowing us not to be consumed by fire right there. Remember in the Old Testament, when the priest had to go into the temple, remember, in the Holy of Holies? Remember the priest had to have bells on the hem of his garment? Do you remember why he had bells? He had bells so that what? The people would know that he has not been consumed by the fire of God because he wasn't living right. For us now, we have grace through Jesus Christ, who is preventing these people who are standing on the stage in the sanctuary, living unholy lives, living lives that are not in keeping with the word of God, and coming to tell you and I how to live. That is what is keeping them. So let us fast and pray about this. We have a lot to get through, so I'm not going to take up much of your time. I'm only here for a specific time. So it's Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. But I want to start reading from verse 1. And of course, we're reading from the New King James Version. Like my glasses, new year, new you. Yeah. Pink, matching pink. Hello. All this pink energy. We need the energy, right? Grace and peace. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? And it says in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 58 from the New King James Version, it reads like this. It says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? You hear this part of it, the rhetorical part, no? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. Listen to that. And exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with a fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. And yes, here we go. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast? And an acceptable day to the Lord? And in verse 6, it reads like this. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree so that you might increase. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts find acceptance in your sight. I pray right now for someone listening and for someone watching, oh God, that you answer their prayer this year. I pray that you bring health and reconciliation to families. I pray that you bring healing to our bodies and that you bring provision. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that you stop the wars that are around the world, that all the wars cease in the name of Jesus, that you provide for people in war zones, for the children, oh God, who are burning up, for the children who are crying out, for the families, the mothers and fathers who are begging you for mercy. Oh God, we beseech you this morning for people bound up by addictions of cocaine and bound up by addictions of alcoholism that is destroying families. We pray right now, Jesus, for people who need jobs today, people who need a job tomorrow morning. Somebody needs an answer from the mortgage company tomorrow morning. I pray, Lord God Almighty, for families that are fighting, husbands and wives who are planning to separate. Jesus, be a fence around us. I pray for someone who needs emergency surgery. I pray for surgeons performing surgeries right now in the name of Jesus, that you bring healing to your people. Raise people up out of hospital beds. Bring them back home to their families. I pray for somebody sitting at home in a wheelchair feeling lost and forgotten. I pray in the name of Jesus that your limbs will walk and that every cell in your body, every muscle will perform in Jesus' name, that you get up out of that wheelchair. I pray for somebody tormented because of something they did years ago in the name of Jesus. I speak to that spirit of torment and command it to cease, that you get your natural born mind back in Jesus' name, that you put down those antipsychotic drugs, that you put them down in the name of Jesus, and that you speak, Lord God, to your people. Speak to our minds. Bring us up out of the morass of depression that's hovering over us, the spirit of heaviness that has come against our country, that has come against the world. I pray right now, oh God, that you manifest yourself in leaders, Jesus, that wars cease in the name of Jesus. Speak to the president of Russia. Speak to the prime minister of Israel. Speak to the president of the United States. Speak now, oh God, and bring healing and bring peace in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? You read it right here with me in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. It says, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? So here we are at the beginning of this year. We're putting ourselves in the right mind. We are laying out our concerns before God because we recognize that we can't do this. We recognize that all our efforts have failed. We can't control the government. Clearly we can't, because inflation is out of control. No matter what we say, inflation is still out of control, eating away at our very excess, eating away at our income. So we're finding it harder to buy food, finding it harder to take care of our bills. Jobs are going. Just this month, Google plans to fire 30,000 more people. That's 30 less thousand jobs, 30,000 less incomes, 30,000 individuals connected to families who will not have income. We have got to go back to fasting and praying. As for me, I am fasting the entire month of January. That means I am fasting until January 31st. I'm eating one meal per day. Now, be it unto you according to your health and according to what your physician dictates. Yeah? So if your physician says you can, then you do so. I am having one meal per day. In between, I drink liquids. No snacky snacky. We're not going to do the snacky snacky because we will sneak a snack and a meal in and a snack becomes a meal. We are fasting. One, if you feel excessively bad, then you've got to eat just a little bit. Get right back on the fast. One meal per day, because we've got to do what? We've got to loose the bonds of wickedness. Look around us today. Is there not wickedness? Wickedness in the sanctuary with bishops performing and playing at parties. That's wickedness. So how am I supposed to tell my children that they should humble themselves, that they should perform and they should conduct themselves in a certain manner if I'm doing the opposite? How do you think my children would feel if I'm telling them going to the club is not a good idea, drinking is not a good idea, if every evening they see me pour out some liquor and drink it? And I'm hanging out with people who do likewise. So my circle is small. So if you're not ready to be set apart, then don't step into this. You have to be ready to understand that when you are called by God, that there are some things you can't do. So if you want to be popular, this is not a calling for you. If you want to be every man for, you know, be every man to every man, this is not the calling. So they call you up and they say, hey, Bishop, I want to invite you somewhere. You say, well, thank you so very much. I bless you in the name of Jesus, but I can't. But thank you for the invitation. I wish you well. And you keep it moving. It's not everywhere that you're supposed to be. I've been saying it for months. So what we're going to do, we are going to fast to loose the bonds of wickedness. So let's take it down on the personal level. We all have things that we are fighting with. For many families this year, as we go into the new year, now that the holidays are over, you're thinking, which one of us, who is going to lose a job? So you have to start contracting. When I say contracting, you start contracting your expenses. That alone starts what? Say it. It starts an argument. The frustration starts. You're telling me that I can go to Starbucks. So you're telling me that I can go see my parents. I can send my brother $50. I can't do this. I can't do that. The argument starts. Stop it. fast. Get down on your knees and hold your hands together and say, we're going to get through this no matter what. Start right now. The two of you are sitting there. Hold your hands and say, we're going to get through this. If we have to help someone, we're going to try our very best. But we got to get through this. Loose the bonds of wickedness. The second thing it says is to let the oppressed go free. Well, who is the oppressed? People are under bondage to addictions. People right now who are under bondage to bad relationships. They're under bondage to violence. They're under bondage to drugs. Have you ever talked to people and they say, I don't know what came over me. I don't know why I do the things that I do. That's bondage. So if you're looking at your children and you've been talking and it sounds like you're talking in a tunnel and they're not listening, start going fasting. Even if it means it's just one of you in the household who is doing it because your spouse doesn't believe as you do. Your spouse is dismissive. Your spouse says, I'm not going to believe that. You go in a corner and you start praying and you start fasting. You mumble under your breath and pray. When you are alone in the bathroom, you pray. When you are alone in the car, you pray. You're driving down the street, you are praying one meal per day for the month of January. And pray and fast. Focus on what we want. None of us like the inflation that is going on in our economy. We are paying for all the wars that are happening all over the world. But it seems like nobody has any respect for the United States, even though we are the ones who are paying for everything. We look around us. The inflation is the problem. It is causing all kinds of arguments in our homes, all the way straight up to the White House. They're arguing right now. We're in a presidential election year, and it's a problem. Are you hearing me? We need to go and fast. Loose the bonds of wickedness. We need to pray against the oppressed, the people who are under addictions, the people who are under spirits of infirmity and sicknesses. Yeah? It says, and that you break every yoke. So here you are, and it's been 10 years since you last got promoted. And inflation has gone out of style, and everybody around you has gotten promoted. That's a yoke. We need to break that yoke. We need to figure out why. We're going to fast to break that yoke. You're in a situation with your spouse who seems to be addicted to something. He can't let go the girl around the corner, the guy who he's on Grindr with. Hello. He has a spirit of something else on him. He tells you he has these compulsions and proclivities. You have a child who suddenly is drinking and you never drank. And you're like, oh my God, where did that come from? How come you're drinking? We don't even have liquor in this house. We don't go out. We don't this. And your child is drinking. We're going to fast because we can't talk to our children. They're not listening to us because our voices, the voice of good, is getting dimmer and dimmer as the voices of oppression and wickedness get louder and louder. We live in a culture where the culture of personality operates. The culture of personality is we're influenced by charismatic people, people who are very charming. We call them movie stars. That's what we used to call them now. No, everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to be the one who is at the forefront of culture, influencing culture. You hear them talk about that. You hear pastors talk about that, that they have want to be culturally relevant. You were never called to be culturally relevant. You were called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You were called to preach reconciliation and to tell people that's not the will of God for your life. That's what you're called to do. You're not called to be culturally relevant. So far be it from me to come here today and tell you that I am striving to be culturally relevant. So I'm going to go, when this is over, I'm going to go to a party and I'm going to dance and I'm going to carry on and hang out with whomever I should want to hang out with because I'm being culturally relevant. So you built this great big building and call it a church. So in order to pay the bills on that building, you need people to come in. So you tell them they have to tithe. And then when they're not collecting enough money, you start inviting rap stars in. So get ready for that pastor from Atlanta. Get ready because they are going to come in. But you're going to be destroyed. You know how you're going to be destroyed? You're going to lose your ministry. You're going to lose your family. And you're going to lose yourself. And then you're going to say, what have I done? Go on a fast and ask God for mercy. So here's where this gets really interesting. You say, but Harriet, these people preach. They come and they tell you they're fasting. As a matter of fact, they do that. These are the very people who the Bible talks about. Ruth saw them here in Isaiah, but we see them again in the New Testament. What did we call them in the New Testament? Let me see if you know your Bible. The Pharisees, the establishment. Remember that Jesus was a rabbi. So as a rabbi, his place was where? In the temple, set apart, right? Mm-hmm. So his life was, he had to live this monolithic life where, you know, that's just him and him alone. And he said, I'm here on a mission. I'm going back to God. So anyway, so here is Jesus, part of the establishment, and the establishment know him. But Jesus said, this is not working because they created separate systems within the establishment. Remember, Ecclesiastes says nothing new under the sun. So these kinds of wickedness have been going on for ages. So Jesus said, in order for the people to hear the truth, I'm going to go out into the streets and tell the people the truth. He did. And what happened? They killed him and shut him up because he was preaching against them. The Pharisees, right? The establishment, no different today. You're just like that. You start out and you say, but Harriet, they're calling us to repentance and they're speaking words and they want God to come and honor their words. But God is having a conversation with them and he's like, do I know you? Remember in verse 5 what he says? He says, did I call you to a fast? Did I tell you? In other words, he's saying to the shepherds who messed up, did I tell you to go build that big building? And now that you have built that big building, you are stuck with the bills. And in order to pay the bills, you're literally selling your soul out. That's what God is saying. So he called some of us to come and issue the warning. He tells us to come and warn. So here's why we fast. Why do you fast? You're going to say this real quick. To honor and please God, to humble ourselves and afflict our souls. Because that's what the scripture says. We're afflicting our souls. How do we afflict our souls? Because we deny the pleasures thereof. Yes, I want to do bad things. Yes, I want to go sometimes and sit down and drink 2 glasses of wine. It gives me a pounding headache. So I have to say it's not for me. Yes, sometimes I want to go and hang out with some people, but it's not the lifestyle for me. Right? We fast because we have to reform our lives. We have to loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens. The burdens we are carrying from bad marriages that we take from one relationship to the other. The burdens of not being attentive to our children. The burdens of not being right-minded to people. The burdens of firing people indiscriminately. Just because you want to buy a bigger boat and you want more money in your bank account. You see how that worked? I'm just going to insert this real quick, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but a few years ago, 2 decades ago, America decided to enter into its globalization phase. Remember that? So American businesses went overseas to go set up their companies instead of paying American workers. Guess what? 2 decades later, we have built up other economies and those people are now our enemies voting against us at the United Nations. Have fun with that. Go on a fast and beg God for mercy. 1 meal a day. Amen? Amen. To break every yoke, to set the captive free. Do you have someone captive? Your employee is captive. You won't pay them more money because you need the money to go pay what? So you can live big. Break the bread for the hungry. Do you donate to organizations that are feeding the oppressed and the hungry? Right? Are you loving the poor? Are you providing clothing? So here is the rules of engagement. You don't be oppressive. Don't threaten. Don't speak vanity. Give freely. And show mercy. It's this fast. That's all you have to do, really. Give freely. Show mercy. Give to people who are helping others. Yeah, I feel that. I feel like you're understanding me in that. If you look at the scriptures, you begin to realize after a while that it's from Genesis to Revelation. It has the same running theme, doesn't it? Because what we say here in the Old Testament, we find it again over in the New Testament. God wrote it like that because he gave us free will. So he said, in order to make these folks, in order to make the people free, I'm going to give them a set of instructions. I'm going to show them how I want them to live, right? So this passage really was written for the hypocrites. They fast as a show. They practice religion, oppressive religious practices, where you have to come into the house of God and you have to volunteer your services instead of where you're there 6 hours. Out of the day, 4 days a week, and you're not getting paid. Imagine that. Think about that. Oppressive religious practices that you have to wear certain items of clothing. And as a woman, you can't come in there. It's always going to be what you can't do. The list of don'ts. The list of what become the traditions of men, right? They have these honorable titles and have the privileges thereof. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, if you're a bishop, you should be bishop of one wife. So you can't be seen at a party partying with somebody else. You can't be seen at a party and disappearing into a room with a man. It doesn't work. Stop that. Because the wickedness, there is a time and a place when God is going to come back and he's going to make your transgressions. You're going to pay for it. So if you're a man of God and you are called, you better know your calling. Make your calling an election sure, because this is wrong. You can't be in the house of God and playing party music and telling the young people that it is. You are leading them astray. You can't be playing party music. There is a difference between when they walk into the house of God and when they're in the club. Show them the difference. Amen. God sees the sin and is displeased. He's unwilling to wait. You know, people are just so unwilling to wait and adapt. People are so unwilling to wait for the mercies of God and wait for God to answer prayers. I have been waiting for years and years. And there are others like me who have made up in our minds that we're going to wait. It is amazing to me how they like to listen to this. You're going to reap the fatal consequences of your sins if you don't stop. I just feel like you just need to hear that. If you're doing things that you should not be doing and you know that you shouldn't, you're going to reap the fatal consequences of it, especially those of us who you call yourself a shepherd. You're leading the people astray. You're going to reap it. It is that simple. They seem to do good in the eyes of God and man. So these are the people who you see put on their honorary titles and their robes. Yeah. And they're walking around. Yeah. And they seem to do good. But behind them, we're now seeing the videos that they weren't doing good when they were, the lights and the cameras were off. And I'm just going to end on this. They love good preaching and the profession of religion and oppressive religious practices. They can preach you into happiness, but the lifestyle does not match up. So I'm going to pray for you that in the name of Jesus, that this fast will break the bonds of wickedness. That this fast, one meal per day, that you listen to the scripture in the words of the prophet Isaiah chapter 58. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? Father, in Jesus' name, break the yoke. We pray that you break the yoke through this month in the mighty name of Jesus. It is so. In Jesus' name, be blessed.